track 8. And now we come to letters to the editor. There are 3 today, and we have edited some of them. Politicians fiddle while the world burns. Jeremy Hall from Crockenwell writes, "This was sent to an MP in the South West constituency, but could be the basis for letters that we should all send to our MPs. I cannot fathom why you have not put your name to support the demand that the National Emergency Briefing film should be shown on as many TV and other media channels as possible. Representing a rural constituency, and with your agricultural visits, you are fully aware of the climate-triggered destruction of the economic viability of some farms and food availability and price rise problems that will become fully evident to everybody from this autumn on. The French fires have destroyed an area 4 times the size of Paris. For how many years should we wait for the same breadth of destruction to occur here? Tourism in France, Spain and Greece is of course suffering significantly. Is it acceptable belief that fires will not occur on Dartmoor and across all our other wilderness areas next year? Is this summer just one-off and can be ignored? Is tourism of no importance to Devon's economy? Why wait for such economic chaos? The National Emergency Briefing movement is beginning to stir discussion, decision and action at all levels, from the local to the national. By expanding this momentum, we will see that there is still life in that little concept, hope. Yes, it will mean profound changes at national level and will mean our society pulling together in ways that resemble a war footing. Do you agree that we have a generational responsibility as politicians of all parties and as ordinary citizens to use the stimulus provided by the National Emergency Briefing movement to react and act, or are we to play with our lives and those of others by repeating to ourselves what an influencer said not so long ago? There's no such thing as climate change. Just look out of the window."
Petty from Totnes entitles his letter "Burn, Baby, Burn" and writes, "These wildfires are not just burning an area 4 times the size of Paris, torching homes and livelihoods and displacing hundreds of thousands of people. They are also confronting us with a vivid moral question. Should we act? Science warned of this extreme weather right back in the 80s. We didn't listen and here it comes. Will our generation follow the golden moral rule to treat others the way we would want to be treated? Or will we insist on business as usual and so allow the collapse of our normal climates? Our farmers will then despair as floods and droughts devastate their work, making our food more and more expensive. Our children and grandchildren will then be left to clear up the mess. Our grandfathers fought to protect us in the First World War, and our fathers protected us in the Second. Now we must fight the climate and nature crises to protect our children. Globally, the last 10 years have been our 10 warmest years. It will only get hotter and hotter, our weather more and more extreme, unless we act. Even the Daily Telegraph commentators are now saying the right has got it wrong about climate. Why has the right lost its moral compass? Why do they accept millions from fossil fuel companies and then write their manifestos to suit those companies' profits? Aren't they supposed to be protecting us and working in our interest?"
And in another letter by Caroline Snow, it's much the same message, entitled "Oil Be Gone." "In a summer of record heat waves, wildfires and escalating conflict in the Middle East, the excuses for clinging to fossil fuels are wearing thin. Back in 2009, Denmark's national oil company dismantled its North Sea oil and gas business and transformed itself into Ørsted, now the world's largest developer of offshore wind. Here in the UK, the oil and gas industry has delayed action for decades. Despite doubling their profits during recent global conflicts, majors like BP, continue lobbying to protect a highly polluting industry rather than reinvest their profits in diversifying into clean energy. At the same time, backwards-looking car manufacturers are lobbying hard to keep producing polluting petrol and hybrid vehicles, simply to delay the day of reckoning when they must compete with more innovative rivals who were quicker to embrace electric vehicles. Every major transition creates winners and losers, but today's industrial laggards, from oil majors to car makers, are actively lobbying to slow down much-needed progress. We can allow these industries to shirk responsibility and profit from pollution, making heat waves hotter and our lives less secure, or we can see their self-interested lobbying for what it is and demand a clean energy system that serves everyone.